Morning. Okay, we're obviously looking forward to today working with Sean and the Saints. It's really a good organization, good program. They do a really good job in a lot of areas, so it's been a great competition for us. And we always, this is the fourth time with the Saints, so feel confident about the relationship that we have with them, and expect it to be a very productive day for us. Like I said, the big thing for us is just trying to get better, trying to work at what we need to work against or work on. Against a quality organization, a quality team, a lot of good players, very experienced coaching staff, and I just think they do a really good job.
Do you have the officials in this morning to talk to
you? Yeah, they're here.
What stands out to you about their presentation or what?
No, we haven't had a presentation. They'll be here at practice.
Bill, a lot of times you see NFL teams get together year after year and they don't mesh very well. Why has there been such a good relationship between you and Sean, the Saints, and the Patriots for the last 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, I don't know. You could have to talk to the other teams about the other teams. I don't know. We have a great relationship with the Saints and with Sean. So, like I said, it's our fourth time of doing it. We've really never had any problems.
Bill, what kinds of things can you learn about your players and sessions like these versus the practices that you've been running the last?
Well, we'll see. It's definitely a different scheme, different matchups, different players. We've worked against each other. We kind of know each other. So, we're in a whole different environment now. We'll see what happens.
Does it benefit that you can control kind of the situations that both you guys do for these joint practices, such as goal line or anything like that?
Yeah, it's no different than our regular practice. We control them in our, we control our practices, and so the coaching staffs have agreed to this is what we want to do. There are a couple things we don't want to do, so that's what it is.
Bill, you stated the plan for quarterback for regular season, but what about for the preseason? How do you plan to handle who starts, and does it matter to you who starts?
I told you before what the situation is, and it hasn't changed.
What have you seen at linebacker from Kamu Grugiejo?
Young player, got a lot to learn, working hard every day, getting better. Long way to go.
Bill, you spoke highly with Donald Brown about a week ago. Assuming he's healthy, what are you hoping to see from him during these joint practices and potentially during the first preseason game to help him separate himself a little bit?
Look, I can't control what any player does. So if a player gets an opportunity, then whatever he gets, he earns. And it's up to each individual player to go out there and compete against whoever he's competing against, and that'll be relative to the other players that he's in competition with at his position or in relative positions, for playing time and for roster positions. It's the same for everybody. I don't have any feelings towards one player over another in any of those situations. We give them the opportunity. It's up to them. I root for all of them, but I can't control how they perform.
It seems like Tyler Gaffney's gotten some opportunities with some of those other guys out. Do you feel like he's taking advantage of those? And how much can you see for a running back in this setting without tackling and whatnot?
All right. Well, more than you could see in the spring, but less than you could see in games. So we're somewhere in the middle there. That's a big part of that position is being able to, see holes, make yards after contact and so forth, and we see what we can see, but it's certainly more than what we saw in the spring, but it'll be less than what we see in a game. So, you're right. Tyler's got a lot of some opportunity. We didn't see anything the first year. Last year, it was limited. This year, it's already far exceeded that. So, we'll just see where it goes.
Well, what improvements have you seen from John Jalapio since the last time he was here?
He's lighter. He's in better condition, and he's has a little more experience, a couple more years of experience, so that's probably definitely in his benefit. Just has a little more confidence, awareness, but he's worked hard physically. You can see that just by his general appearance. So I think it's moving in the right direction. He's made progress.
Bill, how is that Saints players, Ramon Humber and Benny Sinceri, how have they looked?
Good. They've both done a good job for us. Benny, we didn't get until the start of training camp. Ramon's been here all year. Durable, dependable, been out there every day, work hard to get better, making steady improvement, very competitive. Glad we have him.
What did you like about Marcus Kuhn when you brought him in, and how is his skill set different from other interior defensive linemen on the team?
Marcus is a young player in terms of experience. He's, a little older because of his situation, but young player that's, I think, still getting better, works hard, smart, good, tough kid. He's got really good playing strength. I think he played well for the Giants. We played against him last year and evaluated him prior to our game and also in our game. So he's very competitive out there with that group. And, relative to, the contact at the run back position, certainly the contact in terms of the offensive and defensive lines is another thing that we've seen a lot more of in training camp, but it's a little bit different in the game. So, we'll see how that goes for everybody.
Bill, how would you characterize the compete level of the secondary, the versatility, and in particular what you have seen from E.J. Biggers in camp?
E.J. is an experienced player. He has some position versatility, so he's done some different things for us. I think our secondaries, competed well in camp. I think our receivers have competed well, but we'll find out. We'll find out more this week. These guys throw the ball as well as any team in the league, so. They consistently lead the league in passing. Great quarterback, great skilled receivers. Obviously, well coached, good scheme. So, this could be a great workforce against these guys. Fleener, tough guy to cover at tight end. We know that. Plus the other, Cooks, they're getting much better than him. Breeze. So we'll be working against a lot of great players and a great offense and a great passing game. This will be excellent work for our secondary and our defensive, not just our defensive backs, but our entire pass defense.
Bill, they're showing the Steve Gleason documentary, I think, here tomorrow night. How familiar are you with his story?
I've talked to Steve a couple times. We have a couple mutual friends, somewhat, not intimately, but.
You haven't seen the documentary yet?
I haven't seen it.
How much has Malcolm Butler continually evolved here?
Yeah, Malcolm works hard. He's gotten better. Each year he's certainly way ahead of where he was last year at this time, which was way ahead of where he was his rookie year at this time. So, he's a hardworking kid that's shown steady improvement. He really competes well on the field. He wants to get better. His roles have expanded in terms of playing on both sides, playing inside, and. Say his overall coverage, understanding, and technique, and the variety of things that he can do at a proficient level has continued to expand and grow. So he's done a good job for us and continues to get better.
Bill, Jonathan Jones, obviously a lot of people talk about his speed, but what can you say about his physicality and ball skills?
Good. He's a tough kid. And you saw that at Auburn. He tackled well. He plays big for his size. But he's not afraid. He's a tough, competitive kid that's willing to support in the running game and in the kicking game. Very competitive on the ball. Again, his speed and overall awareness puts him in position to have an opportunity to play some balls. That's half the battle right there, is being in a position to do it. But he's been very competitive on the ball and shown good speed, good toughness, as he did in college.
Catch up with him, man, this week?
Sure. Yeah, we'll see. Mm-hmm.
Do you keep in touch, or have you followed him since he left here?
Yeah, a little bit.
So the first preseason game coming up, how do you weigh a performance in a preseason game versus how they do it in practice and what you know of them when you're evaluating a player?
I think it's all part of it. Then we just have to, it's a big mosaic. There's a lot of pieces in the jigsaw puzzle. They all count. They all have value. Some of it's circumstantial. some of it, you know, we just have to do the best we can with what the information is that we have. And that's definitely a component of it. But, you know, some of that's, you know, who the matchups are, who they're going against, what we're doing, and so forth and so on. So I'd say just because, you know, a player makes a couple plays in preseason doesn't necessarily depends on what the circumstances are with the plays, who we made them against, so forth and so on. It could weigh a little bit differently. You know, sometimes, you know, we make plays because they make mistakes, not necessarily because we make plays. Sometimes we make plays because we make really good plays, you know. So I think in the evaluation process, that could be looked at a little bit differently, you know, and vice versa. Sometimes you just, you know, make a mistake that's uncharacteristic and you keep going, hope that mistake doesn't happen again. You know, if a player hasn't done something like that and it happens, then sometimes it happens. You know, I don't think that necessarily means he can't do it. So just do the best we can with the information that we have. But it all counts. It's all important, particularly as we get to training camp. I think in the spring, minimal evaluation in the spring, more teaching, more trying to get everybody in position so they could compete in camp. Training camp is really about competition.
The late games, obviously in the regular season, you're trying to get in and out of things to best suit the going against. But is there an element, whether it be a preseason game or in practices, where it's just run the play, it's called, just so we go look at it and get that rep, even if something else might be more advantageous and you can tell that it might be?
Right. Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's a tough balance. I'd say basically you want to just try to run the plays that you know how to run rather than getting into a big game plan thing of, you know, doing this because they do that and so forth. That's really not what this is for. On the other hand, you know, to run a play that you just have no chance on, then you're probably going to get what you deserve. You know, you just run something into a scheme that just isn't built, you know, like that play is just not built to handle that scheme, then, you know, what does that tell you? It tells you that that play wasn't built to handle that scheme, which is something you already knew, and it's hard to evaluate the players when you just kind of don't even give them a chance. So I think what we want to try to do is, you know, have a fair fight, run plays that are competitive, not necessarily, you know, some trick play that they're not prepared for because it's preseason. That doesn't really help us. Try to run something that's competitive and then see how the competition plays out. One of the things about practice that we can do and do with the Saints is we kind of, you know, have a little bit of set of ground rules. You know, we'll run these things against this and, you know, again, so it's a fair fight and we can evaluate the players as opposed to putting somebody in a real good or a real bad situation that doesn't really, it's more an evaluation of the scheme than it is the players. And we really want to do a good job evaluating the players. I feel like we have a pretty good evaluation of our scheme. But it's, you know, in order to do that, you don't want to make it too complicated and get into too many what-ifs and adjustments and all that, and then you lose the integrity of the fundamentals that you're trying to teach. So it's a balance. It's a lot easier to do it against yourself because you know exactly what you're doing on both sides of the ball. When you're going against somebody else, you know, you don't know exactly how they're teaching or how they're handling it. And so sometimes you could be running into a firestorm that you would be better off not doing. But sometimes that happens, you know. But look, if it happens, it happens. And that's part of football, too. Sometimes you have bad plays and bad situations, and you got to make the best out of a bad play and not have it be a, you know, a big play defensively or a turnover offensively. So, you know, we learn from those situations, too, when they come up, which I'm sure they will.
Bill, as a follow-up to that, how much ability do the quarterbacks during the scrimmages on Friday and Sunday have an opportunity to change plays? Or because, like you said, you know what the defense is running, you know what the offense is running, this is the play, and we're just going to run it because we've meshed it that way?
Yeah. Well, it would depend on the play. Some plays we have that flexibility built into it because we kind of know, well, this is a good play against this look. If we get it, we want to run it. If we get something else, then this isn't really a play that we want in that situation, and we try to have some type of companion play that goes with it. Or same thing on defense. This defense is good if we get this, but if we get something else, we really need to do something else. You know, then there are other all-purpose plays. We have plays that we feel we're pretty competitive against everything. It doesn't really matter what they're in. That we can handle it, or defensively the same thing. It's a basic call, and whatever they do, we have to be able to defend. So plays like that we wouldn't necessarily need or want to be checking in and out of. Players know what they are. They can go out there and run them. They can be aggressive. They don't have to worry about, is it going to be this or is it going to be that? Other plays, again, to run it into a just to run a play that you know is going to be a bad play, it's not really what we want to do. So those type of plays would have some type of option that would hopefully get us out of a bad play and give us a chance to run a good play.
The ability to forget a bad play and move on to the next one is obviously important for players because everyone makes a bad play or a bad call.
No doubt.
I'm curious what you've seen from Jimmy Garoppolo in that regard, whether it's this camp or over the last 2.5 years you've had him here, how he does in that area.
Well, I mean, again, I think that's something all our players have to do. It doesn't matter who it is. You know, every player is going to have plays like that, drop balls, interceptions, missed tackles, missed blocks, missed assignments, whatever it happens to be. Identify the mistake, correct it, and move on. You know, continue to move forward. And I'd say overall that's something our team has to do too. We're going to have a bad, you know, team's going to have a bad series or a bad play or whatever it is. It might not just be one individual. It could be a combination of things, bad coaching, bad playing, you know, or both. And we all have to move on. So I think that's something that just, you know, everybody needs to be able to do. Everybody, I don't think it's an issue on our team. But it could always be better. It's something we all have to work on. So it's kind of the same for everybody. You know, we're all in the same boat there. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. We all have to learn how to move on from them. And I think we all do. And honestly, I don't think a player could get to this level if all they did was, you know, harp on the bad things that happened to them. I mean, I'm sure there are players like that. I don't think there's too many of them playing, hopefully, on this team.
Bill, we always talk about players communicating, but as a coaching staff, you had some changes this offseason. Guys come back, moving around. How has the communication and everything gone in camp with the staff as it is now?
I mean, it's, you know, I don't think it's an issue. It's fine, but you know, it's easy now. There's no pressure. It's the tough part's when you have, you know, 4 or 5 seconds to make a decision on the field. The clock's running, play clock's running. You know, you got to make a substitution. You have to make a call. You have to make a coaching decision, strategy decision, whatever it happens to be. That's where the rubber meets the road. I mean, anybody could sit around a meeting and talk about it, and you know, probably come up with the right thing or, you know, justify what the right thing is. It's making the decisions on the run. That's why those, you know, blue, white type practices they're just as good for the coaches as they are for the players. You know, we have to make quick decisions. We aren't sitting there. We don't know what the play is. We don't know what the defense is. It's not like when you're looking at a script and, you know, you call a play offensively, you know what the coverage is going to be, so you can, you know, kind of tell whether the players are doing the right thing or not. It's more of a game situation. It's on the fly. You don't know what the defense was in. So did the player make the right decision based on whatever, the leverage of the defender, or did the defense make the proper reaction based on the pattern? But you have to see all that and you have to recognize it. And then when we switch sides, you know, the other offense comes on, the other defense goes on, then we, you know, talk about those things on the sideline, try to correct them. I mean, that's what we do as coaches. So it's good practice for us. It's something we haven't done in, you know, several months. And we can, again, sit there and watch film in the off season, but that's not the same as, you know, making in-game adjustments and, you know, seeing things happen quickly and having to react and coach them quickly. So,
are you hands-off in those? Do you let the coordinators kind of do their thing? And then what's your role in those, I guess, those blue-white?
It's to create the situations, you know, and being on the field gives me a good opportunity to also, you know, see the players, you know, in the huddle and, you know, how their communication, I mean, their overall, I would say, you know, posture and attitude and playing the game, communication, you know, I mean, at the line of scrimmage communication, those things are hard to see from the sideline. In a game, certainly, you know, you get a sense of it, but it's not like, you know, standing out there, you know, a few yards away from the play, you know, the command that the signal callers have or that other communicators have, you know, as part of the play. You know, I mean, those things are, I kind of focus on those and trying to set up the situations that I want our team to experience and so we can coach from them, learn from them, and, you know, put them together. So, you know, I don't want want to go out there and have, you know, 9 short yardage plays in practice. You know, I don't want to have, you know, 9 third and 17s in practice. You know, so sometimes if that's what the situation is, then I, you know, modify it so that we're third and short, third and medium, third and long, second and short, you know, red area plays, backed up play, you know, whatever it is, but to try to create enough different situations so that we can react to them, learn from them, coach them off film, and, you know, be playing better the next time they come up.
Bill, with the addition of Martellus Bennett with Gronkowski, was that kind of looking forward how you want to utilize them kind of with Aaron Hernandez and Gronkowski back as far as that scheme with the two tight ends?
Well, all the players that we signed in the offseason in free agency were to improve our team. So the roster decisions we made were made with the intention of trying to make ourselves a better team. So that would be Bennett and, or anybody else we signed for that matter. So they were available. They were, able to work things out with them. We put them on the team because we think they'll help our team.
Well, at the quarterback position specifically, how does the staff teach those guys to balance risk versus reward in practice where you like them to get the most out of a rep, but you also don't want to encourage bad habits, I guess?
Yeah. No, that's a great question, and it's a tough answer, but it's a balance. But certainly I encourage the quarterbacks to take more of a risk in practice than in the game, and that's when you want to – when a quarterback really can develop confidence in a player, you know, throwing it into a tight spot or, you know, having the guy make a tough catch or, you know, can he get it into a small window that you don't want the first time – that to happen to be in a game and then find out, you know, then him say, well, I shouldn't have thrown that. Well, if that's going to happen, let's have it happen in practice. And if we're going to take that kind of risk. So at the same time, I mean, we don't go out there and, you know, throw, you know, 12 interceptions every practice either. That's not the idea. But as far as taking a risk, doing something in practice that you wouldn't do in the game, just if there's a reason for doing it, which I'd say there's a lot of reasons for doing that. And we talk about those. There's definitely a place for that, and it's a way for the in the passing game particularly, you know, to, I'd say, have a better understanding, you know, of what to do and sometimes what not to do, what you can do, and, you know, what, where the risk is worth it and where it isn't. So, and those are all good teaching situations. You know, again, bad plays are bad plays. There's a difference between a bad play and, you know, taking a chance in practice in preparation for a similar situation coming up in the game. You know, would you take that risk again? And how big a risk is it? And so forth. So those are great points that come up in practice that we teach from, and the quarterbacks need to understand. And they need to understand that it's okay to do that in practice. We understand if, you know, provided it's done in the right situation, in the right circumstances, it's okay to do that, as long as we learn from it and then don't, you know, don't make a costly mistake in the game. So that's, you know. Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.